Well, relationship hinge points. I'm going to need some help from upstairs, guys, and I left a little script up there for you. That's the theme for our August preaching series. From the beginning of creation, God made us for relationships with Him and with one another, right? And it wasn't good for us to be alone, Genesis says. So God made us partners, families, all sorts of people so we could be in relationship. Now, relationships can be an incredible blessing, and they can be a lot of hard work, amen? And in the connecting points, the hinge points of our relationship, so to speak, there can be some rusty creaking and scraping sometimes, some resistance, because we oftentimes don't know how to make use of our faith resources in handling those creaky spots in our relationships. So this month we're going to talk about some key faith resources for making our relationships move together more smoothly. So the first resource is on your business card for the week. If you didn't get one, I invite you to get another one and take some extras and pass out to people you care about. And the theme this week, I'll invite you to say it with me. I am slow to offend and quick to forgive. Let's do that again. I am slow to offend and quick to forgive. Thank you. And you'll notice the theme verse for the week is there too on your card, for you to pay attention to and meditate on. My dear brothers and sisters, always be more willing to listen than to speak. Keep control of your anger. Anger does not help you live the way God wants. And that's from the letter of James, who was the brother of Jesus, the leader of the early church in Jerusalem. I am difficult to offend, quick to forgive. You know, the world is full of angry, bitter people. Yeah? Touchy, easily offended, right? Unforgiving. And it's a big problem. I mean, people can be like this next image, time bombs, ready to go off at any moment, right? You can see it in people's road rage, for instance. That's the next frame. There you go. And you can see it in more serious things like this terrorist activity. This is from Pakistan. The terrorist things that happen, the anger that's getting acted on a global scale. It's kind of a lot like people should have this license plate on their car sometimes, and maybe then we'd know. But events this past week even, if you watch the Republican debates, and it was intended to be a really positive thing for 5 and then 10 others to share just our differences, but how we're in a commonality of understanding about life, and how did it turn out? By the end of the week, everybody's screaming and yelling at each other and excluding Donald Trump from events and all this stuff, and you can just hear the anger. It's almost like the politics of anger. Get people angry and harp on it, and focusing on what divides us rather than what unites us. And you know, people aren't mad just at each other. They're mad at God. You know, we get mad at God because why does this stuff happen in my life? Why is this stuff going wrong? And why is there suffering in the world? You know, and let me just say one thing about this anger at God. You know, God never promised that we would understand everything, right? God wants us to trust Him. And so there are many things I don't understand in my life and things I don't understand in the world around me and other people's lives, tragedies that happen. I don't understand. But I have to start my day trusting God or I just go mad myself, you know? And I've learned to kind of be like a little child all over again. As I start my day and my morning prayers, I just kind of, part of my prayer is, God, I don't understand it all, but You've told me it's not my job to understand it all. I want to trust You and let You be God in my life. But we can get so offended and mad at people sometimes. It's a natural human thing. Alexander Pope said this wry little thing up here. At every trifle take offense that always shows great pride or little sense. You know? So we all can do that. But one thing after another happens. What gets us most easily offended, we can all think about that. We all have short fuses about something. I used to have people coming into my office for counseling, and sometimes I would, you know, and they were hurt by something that had happened to them, and I'd throw something out on the table between us at some point, and I'd say, here. Now, I threw that out there. You can take it or leave it. And isn't that true with offense? You can take offense. That's an active verb, or you can leave it. Interesting concept, huh? You can take offense, or you can leave it on the table. You don't have to take it. We have that choice. A lot of us have spent too many years, I think, being angry about one thing or another. We think this person did X, Y, or Z to us on purpose just to hurt us, right? When really, you know what? Half the time when somebody does something, you have just walked in the path of their pain and you happen to be in the way when they were acting out some pain. And it really isn't about you at all, but it's about their journey and their struggle, you know? That's just how it happens. And you know what? That even happens in the church. Can you believe that? I oftentimes say, you know, if all the sinners would stay home, we wouldn't have any trouble around here. You know? But that's how it is. We are sinners in need of redeeming. But, you know, so in the church, just talk to any staff member at any church. And when people are mad, a lot of times, they may not even know they're mad, but they take it out on the church or on staff members sometimes. Why? Because this is a safe place to vent. And that's really good news, isn't it? It is good. And it's okay with me, but as a result, pastors and church staff members often put up with a lot of bad behavior from immature Christians. That just happens. Now, it's okay when they vent on us, as long as they keep coming back, because we're all called to grow in understanding ourselves and what gets us to be at a certain place in our lives, and then also how God wants us to be in the light of His grace. We get to grow in that. Well, that's why Jesus taught us to pray this in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, how? As we forgive those who trespass against us. And that sounds like a condition in a sense, doesn't it? But it's not. It's just the way life is, and we'll come back to that in a little bit. But we pray this every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. And it's the key hinge point of faith to work on this week. I'm slow to offend and quick to forgive. That's the point of the story Jesus told here about the forgiving, the unforgiving servant. Remember that? The point of that story? It's absurd, Jesus says, to have been forgiven millions of dollars or millions of your own sins and turn around and not forgive somebody else. It's absurd. How could you do that if you're really forgiven? Isn't it just natural to want to automatically share that forgiveness with others? In the way that God in Christ has forgiven you? Think about this statement, though, for a moment. We never have enough information to judge somebody else. Think about that. Now, we might judge somebody's bad behavior, and I should be able to look at that person, though, through forgiving love that I've received in Christ and say, you know, that behavior is inappropriate, and sometimes they may confront you about that behavior in Christ and in love. But I can't judge another person. That's God's work. I don't know everything, right? And in fact, you could say it this way. I know what I know, but I don't know what I don't know. You know, I don't know what happened to somebody today if they're behaving a certain way. I don't know what went on in their life earlier, all of it. I don't know how God's working in their life. I don't know what's in their heart. So maybe instead of judging, I should have compassion, huh? So if you have a hard time, though, forgiving on that basis, then at least consider this statement here from Jonathan Lockwood. Look at this. I like this. Forgive others, not because they deserve forgiveness, but because you deserve peace. And, you know, that love passage that we hear at weddings so often, from 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, I think we should pay attention to it in other circumstances and more often. This is verse 7 from the love chapter, and it's from the Amplified Version. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Love like God loves, right? We ain't perfect, but that's what we're called toward in this life of Christian growing. And Martin Luther, you know, in his explanation of the commandments, if you memorize those, you remember that before each one explanation that he gave us, he asked, what does this mean? So the eighth commandment says, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbors, right? Yeah, I'm sure you all remember that. What does this mean? And look what Luther says. He says, whenever he explains the commandments, not what you just what you shouldn't do, but what you can do instead. So we are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them. Instead, we're to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. Well, that's a challenge, isn't it? That's what we're called to as Christians. And if none of that motivates you, let me tell you a story. Maybe I've told you this before, but, you know, I'm getting older, and, you know, good learning is just, you know, a spaced repetition anyway. So, but my grandma Heath, my dad's mother, is one of the most important figures in my life. When I was growing up, spent a lot of time with her. A lot of us grandkids would stay overnight various times. And she was such a fun woman to be around. She was so adventuresome. She would wake us up at midnight to take us on moonlight walks through the woods before we went to pick up Grandpa at the tavern at 1 o'clock in the morning, you know? Well, this is my family, you know, it was so cool. We would, and then, you know, other times she would like, she always had some adventure in mind that we get to go do. And when she was 83, she was driving a Ford Bronco back in the, you know, like 1990s. She just had adventures up her sleeve all the time. In fact, she let us start driving her 1960 Rambler when we were 12 years old, you know? Now, a couple times somebody hit the ditch with it, but she didn't seem to mind too much, you know? She liked adventures and challenges. But there was one thing about my grandma that was, she had a personality flaw. She was good at holding grudges against people. Especially, the most major grudge in her life was against my mother. And how she would do this is that, who knows what would happen, and all of a sudden, my grandma would refuse to talk to my mother. She would ignore her like she wasn't standing there for weeks at a time sometimes. My mother would call her up and say, "What did I do wrong?" And my grandma would say, "You know what you did." I bet grandma didn't even know what she did. And remember, it's one of these things where something happened and you just blame somebody else in your life for your unhappiness. That happens so often. And later in her life, after my grandpa had died and her second husband died, she loved being in relationships. She fell back into this. For 2 years, she had not talked to my mother, refused to go to my parents' house and all this kind of stuff. Well, I was up there in Eau Claire. We were doing this family historical tour, seeing where the Heath and Stillman families had lived for, you know, 60, 70 years in the past. It was kind of fun, and Grandma knew where these places were. 10 of us in this van, my dad, cousins, my aunt and uncle, Hope and Wally, and we were driving around, and at the end of this time, somebody said, "Well, where are we going to go for breakfast?" And here I am, the family therapist, trying to fix everybody, right? "Hey, Dad, why don't you make pancakes for us at your house?" And everybody in the van goes, "Yeah, Don's pancakes!" You know, except Grandma. She says, "Well, if you're going to do that, you can just take me home." And everybody went silent, and we didn't know what was going to happen. We drove to Grandma's house, and, well, what are we going to do now? And as Grandma got out of the front seat of the van, my Aunt Hope followed her, and she said, "Grandma, just wait a minute. I need to talk to you." She said, "You know, I am so tired. For all these years, I've had to try and figure out how to stay out of the middle between you and Angie, and you always want me to take your side, and I'm just tired of this. I'm sick and tired of this, and if you want to live in this resentment the rest of your life and take it to your grave, if you want to die and face God with all this resentment in your heart, that's your business, but I'm going to Don's house for pancakes." And went and got in the van and slammed the door. Well, didn't hear anything from Grandma for a bit, but I heard from the distance she was starting to take that to heart a bit. She called my sister, who had refused to take sides, and had lunch with her and so on, but maybe this happened too quickly for her, but she was talking with a friend on the phone one morning and fell over with a massive stroke at 83 years old. And she was this woman of courage who faced death well as well. There's so many good things about her. And she had a living will, and if I cannot sustain life on my own and feed myself, I do not want to be kept alive. 7 days later, they could not get a swallow reflex. She was paralyzed one side. Her brain was still functioning. She had no speech at all. And so we all went to the hospital, and we were saying our goodbyes one at a time, each of us. And there was my mother, and my siblings and I said to her, "Mother, you need to go in." And she said, "Oh, she'll just get upset. I don't want to do that." We shoved her in the room anyway and shut the door. And she was in there for 15 minutes. And we were wondering what was going on. And my mother came out in 15 minutes. She was just sobbing. And we said, what happened? And she said, well, I went in and sat down next to Grandma. And I just said, Edna, I'm so sorry we couldn't get along all these years. I don't understand why, but please forgive me. And Grandma, with her good arm, reached out and grabbed my mother's hand and would not let go for 15 minutes. Forgiveness? Some people would say, well, it's too bad it took that long. But I'd say, thank God it happened. Forgiveness can happen at any time, even if it's on your deathbed. That's okay. But you know what? Just forgive. Life is too short for that. It's too short to hold on. And this is what happens. This is what that gospel reading is about. When your toilet is plugged up and you keep flushing, what's going to happen? It comes all over your floor, right? It ends up in your bedroom. It affects the rest of your life, your love life, and the rest of your life. It affects the kids' rooms, the living room. Before long, it's out into the street. And then before long, instead of looking for a plumber, you're looking for a new house, right? Okay. That's what unforgiveness is. It's a plugged-up system. See? And when forgiveness, the mercy and love of God, is a flow through life, and you're meant to live in it, right? You're meant to live in the flow of it. When we refuse to forgive, we are blocking off the flow of forgiveness through us as well. And so we don't get it either. Make sense? So forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. It's all of a piece. It's not a condition. It's what happens when we live in the light of God's forgiving love for us. And maybe we just need to keep growing in that the rest of our lives, because we all have places where we don't want to let go of stuff. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's how you unplug your plumbing. Let it flow. Let it go, because life is just too short to hang on to that stuff. And this line from Reinhold Niebuhr is just a wonderful one. Forgiveness is the final form of love. And what's that? What's the form of that love? Well, look at this. You know this image, the next one. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, even as he was dying on the cross for us. That's the style of forgiveness that we're called to and to grow into. Well, one of the most powerful scenes for my counseling career was when a couple came to see me. They were court-ordered to come and see me because they had this nasty divorce they were going through, and they were fighting over the kids. And getting the kids caught in it, you know, all that stuff that happens. The kids have to lie because they're being put in the middle by their parents, and all that stuff was happening. Kids acting out in school. So they came in to see me, and over a few sessions, they slowly started to unfold their arms and open up and start facing how each of them had caused this marriage to fail and this family to fail. And they, in one session, they were both just tender, it was a very tender moment. They were very open and honestly acknowledging some stuff. And I said, you know what? Sometimes when people want to let go of things, it helps to go into the sanctuary. This office was in a church building, and our counseling office was right off the sanctuary. How would you like to go in there? And we can do confession and forgiveness. It's right in your red books, by the way. Private confession and forgiveness. So we did that. They went into church. They knelt at the altar railing. And they admitted to each other the ways that they had hurt each other and how this marriage has failed because of their behaviors, their own, and how that had affected their kids and their families. And then I pronounced the words of forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Your sins are forgiven. And I never saw two people walk out of a sanctuary so free. Forgiveness is freedom, isn't it? When we let go, it gives us a new start, a fresh way to look at life. And thank God for that. So, this week, think about where you need to get over yourself or over some offense and to forgive somebody. And grow in saying this and believing this, even if you don't believe it yet. How we change is by what we tell ourselves, remember? So say it with me. I am slow to offend and quick to forgive. And maybe as you work on that, your relationships will get a little less creaky and a little more smooth.